Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of grace and mercy, the Lord of glory. We ask you now to speak to us, help us to know the Father, to know him richly and fully, and so enable us then to do your works, that is, to let others know the love of the Father in Jesus Christ, you, our blessed Lord. Amen. Homecoming. I wonder what that word does for you, homecoming. It can be a word full of promise, can't it? Have you ever been on a long holiday and you're just longing to get back home and sleep in your own bed? There's something really lovely about that, isn't there? So it can be a wonderful word, homecoming, but can also be a word full of pain too, particularly if there's been estrangement or difficulty. Whether our heart skips or races when we hear the invitation, come home, reveals a lot about our history. There may be a story of joy and love, or of pain and failure, or even of abuse and hate. And probably for many of us, it's a bit of a mix of some or all of it. So when we hear the invitation to come home, we may have glad anticipation, already turning our steps in that direction. Or we may stand aloof and non-committal, unsure whether to go or to stay. Or we may rise angrily and tear off in the other direction, leaving the invitation letter in tatters on the floor. Jesus promises in today's reading to take us home. He's taking us to his own home, the Father's house, so that where he is, we can be also. He's making his home our home. And what a home he has. It's not a house. A home is more than bricks and mortar, bedroom and kitchen, isn't it? A home is a place of security, of honesty, of faithfulness, and above all, love. A place where we can be free with others. As Jesus thinks of his own homecoming, I was thinking about that statement before, a place where we can be free with others. When I was growing up, we had a telephone at home and no social media, no internet. And so when I was bullied somewhat at school. So when I got home, it was a refuge. But today, sometimes the home isn't that anymore because of social media and mobile phones. Bullies can come into your bedroom. They can hunt you down wherever you are, really, can't they, these days? So a home is a true home is a very attractive thing. As Jesus thinks of his own homecoming, as he's actually doing through John's Gospel now, he's going to the Father. He is filled with deep desire for that time. In one way, he's never left the Father. The Father is always with me. But there is a homecoming coming to him. It's a special kind of homecoming because when he returns to the Father, he's taking the family with him. We'll talk about that in a moment. No words express the heart more than his statement, "I am going to the Father." If you want to know what Jesus is about, that's what he's always about. I'm going to the Father. Even in his coming from the Father's bosom to the earth, that was his going to the Father. There, where I am in the Father and the Father is in me, there is fullness of joy and love, and above all, love. And in his words today, he tells us that his desire is not to be there alone, but to bring us with him into that home and closeness with them. There's room for all in their loving hearts. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus recognises that we may not desire this homecoming as he does. This is why he says that he has to go away to prepare that homecoming for us. It's possible, isn't it, that we're nervous or cautious or fearful about this homecoming. We may have unspoken dread about the reception we might receive. We might even be resentful that Jesus offers this to us. Why would we want to go there? We're doing well enough here, thank you very much. Let things lie, Jesus. Don't trouble our settled and satisfied lives. We're surviving just fine without this God that you seem so keen to get us to believe in. I find those kind of reactions, that whole gamut of reactions, often come up when I'm talking with people after I've taken a funeral. People who, no, we're not going to have anything to do with that. People who have a history in the past and that clearly they don't know how they could go home now to the Father. It's a whole range of things that you find there. And I guess that's the case with everybody we meet. When Jesus is speaking these words, he's speaking about the cross when he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." For he meets us as those who've resisted or reacted or resented or rebelled from our home. He meets us like those two brothers in his parable of the lost sons. In our Bible study group, we've been spending a lot of time looking at that parable. There's so much that must be done, mustn't there, for those two sons, not just for one, but for two. One has reacted and rebelled. He found the Father's home constricting, for some reason, and off he took, only to then think, well, how do I make my way home, because it hasn't worked out so well for me. But he's fearful. He doesn't believe that he'll get a welcome necessarily. He knows that his father's servants are doing better than he's doing, so he thinks, maybe I could go back as one of the hired servants. His other brother has never left the house, but you know, he's never been home, the older brother. He is amongst those who've resisted and resented. And we see that when the father welcomes the other son back, you find resistance and resentment coming out from this older brother. There's so much that must be done to make homecoming possible for both those sons. Our resentment and resistance must be broken down. All that resentment and resistance, all of that reaction and rebellion has produced is a skewed picture of the home and the father. We've got to see the father anew. And so Jesus has to go to prepare a place for us. So when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, he's not going to get the father on side. In fact, the father has sent him. He's not going there to try and convince the father about something. The father has always been on our side. The problem is not at home. The problem is where we are. To prepare a place for us will require that we have our hearts turned around. He has to prepare us for us to come home. We've kicked against the Father. We've sought life on our own terms. We fear what we imagine to be loss of face if we were to turn around and come back, a humbling beyond our bearing. What could break through those barriers and make our returning possible? The Father we've kicked against has sent his Son. He has come to seek and to save what was lost. He is the good shepherd who has gone looking for the lost sheep. And this search and rescue is going to cost him his life. As he speaks these words, he knows that he's going to go to the depths of our lostness at the cross, diving down to the depths of our loss of home, taking all that alienation and pain into himself, confess it all to the Father, and then rise again to free us to see and to know that the Father has always been the God of love for us, and that he has forgiven all and forgotten all. That is at the heart of the homecoming. In Jesus, the voice of the Father comes to us. He says, I know, I know. I know how you saw things and how you couldn't see them any other way. I've always had you in my heart. I've always loved you. None of that past stands between us. Come home, dear one. Like the loving father in Jesus' beloved parable, he comes running to us in Jesus with arms open wide. This is the Father whom Jesus has made known to us. If you'd really understood me, you would have known my Father also. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the truth of the Father. He is life from the Father. All of that come among us in human flesh and blood. We have not yet seen Jesus aright if we've not come to know the Father of love. For many of us who've been Christians for years or decades, we may well wonder if this truth that we had known is now a long way off. Perhaps you remember when the love of God came to you and it was so good and fresh and new. Perhaps you're like me, a man who has too often kicked against the goads, too often asserted my independence and done things my way. You might wonder if there's any possibility of yet another return. Jesus has good words for me and for you. In Matthew's Gospel, he talks about a brother who has sinned 77 times, or even possibly 70 times 7. And he says that such a one is still able to be and must be forgiven at a human level. That can only be so because God's mercy and forgiveness run further and deeper than we can range or plunge in our waywardness. Wherever we've gone to, his love is deeper still. So let not your hearts be troubled. Put away anxiety and fear. Trust God and trust Jesus. The door home is open. The Father waits with open arms of embrace. The Son stands ready to show you the Father. The feast is ready. The joy is overflowing, ready to spill out in a mighty river down into the depths of your heart. At the end of the reading, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Sometimes I think we detach those words from what this whole passage is about. What is the great work that you and I are called to do? What are the great works we're called to do in this world? That's the question. And I think what Jesus is saying here, I don't think he's talking per se about miracles, although it might involve miracles. I think what he's saying, what is the great work that he's come to do? To show us the Father, to bring us to the Father. And Jesus is promising us who join with him, who believe in him, who come to the Father through him, that he will capture us up in his work of bringing men and women to the Father. In his book, Henri Nouwen, he's got a book called The Return of the Prodigal Son, and it's really the fruit of a lifelong meditation on a painting by Rembrandt of The Return of the Prodigal Son. It's a fantastic book. But in that book, he talks about how at various times he's identified himself as the younger brother or the older brother. And in this whole time of his meditation on the parable and on the painting, he began a role in a ministry to intellectually disabled people in Canada somewhere. And as he was sharing with some of the Christian leaders in that ministry, one of them said to him, "Don't you see you're also meant to be like the Father?" So yes, we find ourselves in the younger son, we find ourselves in the older son, but Jesus has come so in a way we can become fatherly, just as he is fatherly. We can be those who introduce people to the love of the Father, who welcome home people who return, glad to have them here, glad to welcome them, glad for them to know the home that we've come to know and to cherish so dearly. The Lord be with you.